This spring, if you'd rather spend time enjoying your lawn instead of trying to keep it alive, there's good news. TruGreen is the easiest and most affordable way to get a beautiful lawn. All you have to do is water and mow, and they'll do the rest. Weed control, fertilization, aeration, and even some things you might not even think of. They'll do all of it, while you can do literally anything else. With True Green, you could have your lawn looking as good as a putting green. That's not hyperbole. True Green is the official lawn care treatment provider of the PGA Tour. True Green offers a satisfaction guarantee, and they have a verified best price promise, which guarantees you the lowest price with no compromise on quality. You do you. Let True Green do your lawn care. Visit TrueGreen.com to get the best lawn at the best price with the best people guaranteed.
This podcast is supported by FedEx. FedEx offers fast delivery, more visibility, simple returns, and weekend home delivery to 98% of the U.S. population on Saturday and 50% on Sunday. With FedEx, you get picture proof of delivery, ensuring you always know where your package is. Returns are simple with packageless and paperless returns. Plus, FedEx Ground is also faster to more locations than UPS Ground. See the FedEx service guide for delivery information. So, what are you waiting for? See what FedEx can do for your business. Absolutely, positively, FedEx.
If you're constantly on the hunt for a good deal, then you need Rakuten. Rakuten is the smartest way to save money when you shop because members get cash back at over 3,500 stores across every category, including fashion, beauty, electronics, home essentials, traveling, dining, and more. You're already shopping at your favorite stores. Why not save while you're doing it? It's a no-brainer. Get the Rakuten app now and join the 17 million members who are already saving. Cashback rates change daily. See Rakuten.com for details. That's R-A-K-U-T-E-N. Your cash back really adds up.
Tonight, dereliction of duty. Star U.S. gymnast blamed the FBI for turning a blind eye to the sexual abuse from Team Dr. Larry Nassar. Former Olympians testify before Congress, saying their allegations were ignored and diminished.
I blame Larry Nassar, but I also blame an entire system that enabled and perpetrated his abuse.
The current FBI director's apology, but will there be justice? The pandemic's toll, the shocking number. One in 500 Americans has died from coronavirus. Also tonight, the breaking news from the FDA about booster shots. Mission to space, the first all-civilian crew to go to orbit. Meet the billionaire paying the $200 million to take the historic group on a three-day trip. Plus what it means for the future of space tourism. Biden backs America's top general. But the president is saying tonight after reports Chairman Milley secretly called China behind then-President Trump's back. CBS News exclusive. She survived Taliban bullets. Now Malala tells us what she fears most for women and girls in Afghanistan. North Korean threat. Rising tensions after new missile tests. And all the right moves. An innovative program that's teaching life lessons with a chessboard.
This is the CBS Evening News with Nora O'Donnell. Reporting from the nation's capital.
Good evening and thank you for joining us. We're going to begin tonight with remarkably brave testimony right here in Washington and some shocking allegations that the FBI and USA Gymnastics enabled a serial sexual predator through botched investigations and really inexcusable lies and cover-ups. Star gymnast Simone Biles broke down as she and other top U.S. gymnasts accused the FBI of deliberately ignoring years of sexual abuse at the hands of disgraced sports doctor Larry Nassar. And Biles said that what happened and the pandemic made this summer's Olympics especially difficult for her. More than 150 women and girls have said the USA Gymnastics and Michigan State University doctor abused them over the past two decades. Nassar is now serving a 40 to 174-year prison sentence. And the gymnasts were on Capitol Hill for a Senate judiciary hearing following an inspector general's report on the FBI's mishandling of the Nassar investigation. CBS's Nicole Killian leads us off tonight from Capitol Hill. Good evening, Nicole.
Good evening, Nora. This hearing room was filled with emotion as each gymnast described their abuse and the toll it continues to take on them to this day.
Tonight, the world's most elite gymnast appeared on a different stage.
Being here today is taking everything I have.
Tearfully opening up on Capitol Hill about the abuse they faced by former team doctor Larry Nassar.
To be clear, I blame Larry Nassar, and I also blame an entire system that enabled and perpetrated his abuse.
Olympian Simone Biles was one of four athletes who painstakingly described being molested by Nassar while competing at the highest level.
I was naked, completely alone, with him on top of me, molesting me for hours.
Gold medalist Michaela Maroney says when she told an FBI investigator what happened, she was met with silence.
After that minute of silence, he asked, "Is that all?" Those words in itself was one of the worst moments of this entire process for me.
Her case was one of the first to be referred to the FBI in July 2015, but the Bureau failed to properly investigate, according to an internal Justice Department report, waiting more than a year before opening a formal probe. By then, approximately 70 other young athletes had been assaulted by Nassar, who was later convicted.
The FBI and others within both USAG and USOPC knew that Nassar molested children and did nothing to restrict his access.
Days before the hearing, the FBI fired one of the lead agents on the case as senators pressed Director Christopher Wray on the failures.
What am I missing here?
I don't have a good explanation for you. It is utterly jarring to me.
Wray apologized and said the Bureau will not let this happen again.
I and my entire senior leadership team are going to make damn sure everybody at the FBI remembers what happened here.
Do you take him at his word?
I don't take people's words for things. It has to be action. And so, hopefully today will be a day that effectuates real meaningful change.
Gymnast Michaela Maroney said the FBI agents involved in this flawed investigation should be prosecuted. The Attorney General and Deputy Attorney General declined to testify today, but they are likely to be asked about that next month when they do appear. Nora?
Nicole Killian, thank you so much. And we want to turn now to the COVID pandemic, which has now claimed the lives of one in every 500 Americans. And get this, for those 85 years or over, it's one in every 35. CBS's Omar Villafranca has new details tonight on the intensifying battle over booster shots.
Tonight, Pfizer and now Moderna are making a major push for booster shots. But the Food and Drug Administration is staying neutral. Today, the FDA released new documents from Pfizer ahead of an advisory panel's meeting on Friday to discuss COVID booster shots, claiming that protection from its vaccine loses some effectiveness after 6 months, but improves to 95% after a third dose. But in a separate document, FDA staff noted that they've yet to verify some data that would support an additional dose, saying the current vaccines still afford protection against severe COVID-19 disease and death in the United States. But in much of the U.S., the issue isn't third doses. It's convincing Americans to get their first dose. In Tennessee, less than 45% of the population is fully vaccinated. In Shelby County, children make up 35% of the active cases from the last 2 weeks.
If we could get our vaccination rates up even more, if we could get people to mask consistently, we would be doing the job of protecting those kids who are under the age of 12, who really don't have the option of being vaccinated right now.
17-year-old Jacob Rodriguez got COVID. He was unvaccinated.
Felt really tired, headache, couldn't taste nothing. It was awful.
The nurse comes in and he's like, "It looks like Jacob's played four quarters of football with no pads on the inside of his body."
When you hear that from a medical professional, what are you thinking?
Truthfully, God, where are you taking us with this? You know, am I going to be on that list of numbers? Is my kid going to be one of those numbers?
President Biden met with CEOs today to discuss his vaccine mandate for businesses with more than 100 employees. And here in Memphis, that means locally based businesses like FedEx and AutoZone. But here at this free vaccine clinic, we noticed that the traffic was slow, just like the vaccination rate. Nora?
That mom's message should be a wake-up call. Omar Villafranca, thank you. Well, something pretty remarkable is about to take place just hours from now. For the first time, an all-civilian crew of four will be sent into Earth's orbit. CBS's Mark Strassman reports tonight from the Kennedy Space Center in Florida.
Our first all-civilian crew.
Civilian space voyagers. For Inspiration 4's crew, that dream's now both in the stars and in the countdown's final hours. They suited up this afternoon and headed into their SpaceX Crew Dragon capsule.
Well, I'm ready to go. Let's do it.
Crew member Cyan Proctor.
Every day it just gets better and better.
On the launch tower high above Pad 39A, Jared Isaacman, the mission commander, back in May showed us their walkway to the cosmos.
Well, this is where the rocket launches. This is where you get strapped in.
The billionaire chartered the flight. Price tag, reportedly around $200 million.
This is a first. That's significance. That's responsibility.
Responsibility being the first, that there will be a second and a third?
Absolutely. You have to get this one right for all the other great missions to follow.
For 3 days, they'll orbit the Earth, soaring some 360 miles above the planet, about 100 miles higher than the International Space Station. A custom-built cupola will give them hemispheric views of Earth and deep space. It's next-level space tourism, beyond the quick flights by billionaires Richard Branson and Jeff Bezos to the edge of space. Inspiration 4's flight is also a charity drive for St. Jude Children's Research Hospital in Memphis.
St. Jude saved my life.
Crew member Haley Arsenault is a physician assistant at St. Jude. When she was 10, the hospital treated her for bone cancer.
So we're going to call the St. Jude patients from space, and I think it's really going to show them what they're capable of.
SpaceX has spent almost the last 6 months training the civilian crew, and they all say they understand that space moments like this involve risk. Nora?
We'll be watching. Mark Strassman, thanks so much. Well, tonight, the president and the Pentagon are defending the nation's top military officer after bombshell revelations that he reached out to China fearing a war in the final days of the Trump administration. CBS's Nancy Cordes reports from the White House.
And vaccination.
President Biden expressed complete support today for the nation's highest-ranking military officer.
I have great confidence in General Milley.
General Mark Milley, the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, is facing calls from some Republicans to resign after two veteran reporters wrote that in the tumultuous closing days of the Trump presidency, Milley secretly reassured the Chinese, "We are not going to attack." In their new book, Bob Woodward and Robert Costa say Milley feared that former President Trump had gone into a serious mental decline in the aftermath of the election and might go rogue, launching a strike against China. Pentagon spokesman John Kirby said Milley did nothing wrong.
I can tell you, frequent communication with two countries like Russia and China is not atypical at all for a chairman of the Joint Chiefs.
The book, which was published by Simon & Schuster, a division of Viacom CBS, says Milley also warned senior military officials in January not to take orders from anyone unless he was involved. The White House press secretary argued today it's important to consider the timing.
The former president was fomenting an insurrection, and there was broad concern from a range of members of his national security team about his behavior and fitness for office.
Some of that concern, the authors write, came from CIA Director Gina Haspel, who they say feared that President Trump might try to strike Iran in his final few days in office. Nora?
Nancy Cordes, thank you. And we want to turn now to Afghanistan and how the Taliban's takeover will impact women and girls. Malala Yousafzai survived an assassination attempt by the Taliban in Pakistan for speaking out about education for women. Well, earlier we spoke with the youngest Nobel Peace Prize laureate. What do you think will happen to the gains made by women and girls in the past 20 years?
There were zero girls in school in the past government of the Taliban. Right now, so many children were in school, they were getting their education, and 39% of those children were girls. So girls were in school, they may not be able to go to their school again. And the women and girls I have talked to, they have shared this concern. And a lot of them right now want to be in a safe place, or they want the Taliban to actually guarantee to them that they are safe in their work.
What are you hearing from your Afghan friends about how women and girls are doing right now?
Girls are afraid to go to school. They had dreams and they're worried that they may not be able to sit in a classroom anymore. Women are worried about going to work. They are constantly under the surveillance where people are watching them over how they act, how they speak, how they behave, what they wear, how they dress. Their rights are denied to them.
Why do you think the Taliban is afraid of educating girls?
When women and girls are educated, when they are aware of their rights, when they know that Islam allows them to have equal rights, then these women can challenge them and they can tell them that you cannot say this to us. So I think, you know, awareness, education, enlightenment is dangerous to the ideology of the Taliban or any other extremist group that is out there.
So if you were able to meet with President Biden, what would your message to him be?
I would definitely ask him to stand up and support the rights of women in Afghanistan and stand up for girls' education. We cannot lose the gains that we have made over the past many, many years. It's the decision of the U.S. and other countries that have led to the situation that the people of Afghanistan are witnessing right now. So he has a huge responsibility. And in this moment, you know, we must not forget that it is the people who suffer the most. It's the civilians who lose their homes, who become displaced, who lose their loved ones and who lose, you know, the peace that they had before.
If there's a young Afghan girl watching this, what is your message to that girl?
My message to, you know, every girl always has been that they must believe in their voice. This is about your future. This is about your dignity. This is about your human rights. And you know, it's your voice is very much needed in this moment. Sometimes you hope that somebody else will do something for you and speak out for you. Sometimes the world is silent and the world doesn't do anything. So you must raise your voice and you must speak out for your rights.
Malala, I want to show you a story in The Economist magazine this week. It says, "Why nations that fail women fail." We know that societies that treat women badly are poorer and less stable. What must the world do now?
When you ensure every girl access to complete and quality education, it adds up to $30 trillion to the world economy. When girls are educated, it halves the risk of conflicts. When girls are educated, it improves economies and helps us tackle climate change. It reduces poverty. So the advantages of educating girls are enormous.
And that is Malala's lifelong goal. And you can find more of our exclusive interview with Malala tonight. That's on CBSNews.com.
This episode is brought in part to you by Audible, your go-to destination for thrilling audio entertainment. Whether you're looking for a hair-raising experience to enjoy while you're on the move or eager to dive into sinister and shocking tales, Audible has an exclusive collection of thrillers from best-selling authors that will keep you on the edge of your seat. Like James Patterson's first audio-only thriller, The Coldest Case. Experience stories like never before, where every chilling detail is brought to life by captivating sound design. Plus, as an Audible member, choose one title a month to make yours forever. And now, new members can try Audible free for 30 days. Just visit audible.com/WonderyPod or text WonderyPod to 500-500. That's audible.com/WonderyPod or text WonderyPod to 500-500.
Tonight, the world's attention is focused on the growing threat from North Korea after its new missile launches and alarming rhetoric. Here's CBS's Raimi Innocencio.
Just hours after North Korea launched two ballistic missiles banned by a UN resolution, South Korea, not under UN missile restrictions, tested its own. A submarine-launched ballistic missile for the first time, Seoul said it successfully hit its target. That launch led to a quick rebuke from the younger sister of North Korea's supreme leader, Kim Jong-un, Kim Yo-jong, threatening complete destruction of ties with the South. It's a notable rise in tensions after Pyongyang's first ever test of two cruise missiles last weekend. State media claimed they changed course mid-flight and did loops in the sky before hitting their targets more than 900 miles away. That could threaten Japan and U.S. forces in the region. These launches, 4 in 5 days, come just after North Korea celebrated the 73rd anniversary of its founding last Thursday. Kim Jong-un appeared thinner and tanner than he did at the start of the year after years of concern over his weight and health. He does not have a clear successor if he were to die. South Korea's President Moon Jae-in said their test was a sure deterrence and said the North's own launches show how destabilizing the Kim regime is. Raimi Innocencio, CBS News, Hong Kong.
Chess is a game of make-believe, kings and queens, pawns and rooks. So what does that have to do with real life? Well, it turns out quite a bit. Here's CBS's Jamie Yukis.
It's the most unique piece in the game.
For 12-year-old Andre, chess is more than just a game.
I use a lot of stuff that I've learned on the chessboard in real life, like think before you move, think before I act out.
He's just one of thousands of students from some of L.A.'s toughest neighborhoods learning to play.
I learned to play chess at age 13. It was a pivotal moment in my life.
Damon Fletcher grew up in Compton. After going away to college, he came home to find his childhood friends struggling.
Some of them had fallen into the prison system, gang life, and drugs. And I just wondered, why did I have such a different outcome? And it was chess.
Very good. I'm glad.
He started Train of Thought to help kids of all ages find their inner king or queen.
Every game of chess is 75 to 100 moves. And every single move that your opponent makes presents a new problem for you to solve. Kids are just having fun. They don't realize that they're solving problems.
The answer is always there.
How do you teach a 5-year-old how to play chess?
We actually have a really cool story that we use to help kids that age set up a chessboard for the first time. It goes, the king and the queen got married by the bishops. They rode on horses to their castle and had 8 children.
My main thing in class is be a scholar. So being a scholar to me is being prepared, productive, and never giving up.
That's the best way to play.
Mastering the game of life early. Jamie Yukis, CBS News, Compton.
An important story tomorrow, how some determined educator turned one of the worst schools into one of the best. And if you can't watch us live, set your DVR so you can catch us later. That is tonight's CBS Evening News. I'm Nora O'Donnell in the nation's capital. We want to leave you with a look at the National Mall tonight, where 650,000 white flags are on display, one for nearly every American who has died from COVID. Good night.
Why?
If you have T-Mobile 5G home internet, you might be hearing this a lot.
Why?
Every time your internet slows down during the busiest hours.
Why?
Because your network gives priority to cell phone users.
Why?
Good question. Why not switch to Cox Internet with 2x faster download speeds than T-Mobile 5G home internet during peak hours?
Okay.
Stop the whys and visit cox.com/5G home for details. T-Mobile prioritizes certain T-Mobile phone users over home internet users during times of congestion.
If you enjoy tuning in to the CBS Evening News, there are official T-shirts, hats, mugs, and more available for purchase at ParamountShop.com. These products are perfect for any fan of evening news, and you can take 20% off with code EVENING20. That's 20% off all CBS Evening News products with code EVENING20 at ParamountShop.com.